is The Takeaway, and I'm Celeste Headley, joined today by Todd Zwillick instead of John Hockenberry, who's out this week. Well, you know, we've been talking a lot about the economy, and one of the places in the economy that's kind of has been struggling is the manufacturing industry. Yep. That's really totally fair to say.
Absolutely.
But, you know, what if there was a whole new kind of manufacturing, a whole new area that the UAW and the Teamsters could go and unionize, right?
I mean, they'd love to use it, sure.
That's really what we're talking about here. This week, Oakland City Council approved an ordinance to allow the industrial production of marijuana. I mean, that it becomes a sector of the manufacturing industry.
Not hemp now, but marijuana.
That's correct.
Right.
It is already currently legal to grow, purchase, and use marijuana for medical purposes in 14 states, plus the District of Columbia. This November, Californians are going to vote on whether or not it will be legal to use recreational cannabis as well. And we're going to set aside the whole ethical issue of whether or not to legalize marijuana. We want to talk about this as an economic story. Who benefits from the legalization of marijuana? And could it be a way to actually boost local economies and add jobs to the United States? We're joined now by Ryan Nurz. He's currently working on a book about marijuana culture in the United States. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first, let's really quickly set aside the issue of the law. It has not changed that marijuana is illegal to use according to federal law, correct?
Correct.
And it has not changed that federal law trumps state law.
Yes, that has not changed, except that, right now, Attorney General Holder had said publicly that they weren't going to go after state law. Anyone who was complying with state laws in California or any of the other 14 states, they weren't going to go after them. That said, they recently did shut down, the DEA did shut down a grower in Mendocino County who was the first one to get a permit there. So it's sort of sending a mixed message, and maybe when this Proposition 19 comes up in November to legalize recreational marijuana, there might be a battle.
There could be a fight coming. But let's move on to the economics of this. The city leaders in Oakland, California, talk about this as a boost to their economy.
Sure.
That this is really going to add jobs and it's going to bring money, tax money, into the coffers of the city. Do we know that's true?
Already, they approved like a 2.5% tax against the major medical dispensaries in Oakland, and there was something like $19 million in that these three major dispensaries had revenue of last year. So, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that it's going to bring in quite a bit of revenue.
And supposedly, it's also sparking all these offshoot businesses, like these marijuana colleges.
Right.
One of them is called Oaksterdam University. What are these colleges? Are they actual legitimate schools?
I think so, yeah. There's Richard Lee is one of the top sort of cannabis entrepreneurs right now, above board entrepreneurs there in Oakland. He started Oaksterdam. And yeah, they have regular classes. They have classes on cooking with marijuana, classes on, you know, how to use these pretty complicated hydroponic systems, ventilation. And frankly, there's classes about sort of skirting the law and federal law if someone's coming after you.
Not everyone is happy about this new proposal in Oakland, and not just proposal, but they actually passed this ordinance allowing production of marijuana by four factories in the city of Oakland. We spoke with Steve D'Angelo. He's the owner of Harborside Health Center, which is the largest medical cannabis dispensary there. And here's what he had to say.
The problem is that the ordinance that the council passed actually makes small and medium-sized growers in Oakland illegal. So any growers from Oakland in that category would have to close in order to be in compliance with the law.
Is Steve correct here?
My understanding is that he was initially correct, and because of that, because there are so many people loudly barking at the city council meetings, that they've actually said that they're going to create new regulations for these medium-sized growers. That's the whole point, is that if you create these four big farms, then what you get rid of is there's been a lot of fires. There's no way to regulate these medium-sized growers, and they end up being in these sort of small garages and places like that where it's kind of dangerous. There's been a lot of fires, and there's violence because there's a lot of money sitting around and a lot of product. So,
Ryan, every decision has benefits and risks. That's a truism. You mentioned $19 million in tax revenue. That's good. Decriminalization might be good. More jobs in this economy, certainly good. But what are some of the costs here in decriminalization or legalization? What do we know about the liabilities that we're going to attain here?
Well, I mean, because it remains federally illegal, statistics remain sort of unreliable. So it's hard to know exactly what the costs are. But, there's a lot of talk. A lot of, parents are worried about kids. Is this going to, create a less of a stigmatization and kids feel like pot's fine? Then that gets into sort of demotivation. What sort of lung problems are there with chronic marijuana use?
Impaired driving, maybe.
Impaired driving, exactly. And so there's that. But then there's also the there's violence too. Actually, there's been recently, especially in Sonoma County, there's a lot of violence where people come in. There's, like I said, there's a lot of cash sitting around. There's a lot of products sitting around. No one has. There's no security involved in these places. That said, apparently it's going to. Put a damper on the Mexican drug cartels, which is now 50%.
Well, that's the argument for legalizing recreational cannabis many people are making, is that the violence goes away if it's legal.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I personally think that it's it'd probably be a general overall positive thing for Oakland and California. I mean, once they go recreational legal, I don't know.
That's it's hard to say. Well, let's listen to Jeff Jones. He's a professor of horticulture at this new Oaksterdam University.
Here in Oakland, I think it speaks volumes that this past week we had to lay off upwards of 60 to 80 officers with the police department that were doing their duty. This didn't need to happen if we had a system that allowed for the commodities that we're talking about here, cannabis, to be taxed and regulated properly. I think the city could have found the money that was needed to make sure that they didn't have to take a leave.
I imagine that there's a lot of cities watching Oakland and waiting to see if this turns out to be an economic boon for the city.
Absolutely. I mean, it's already been an economic boon for Denver since December when they passed a tax for this. They've made $1.5 million in taxes. So it's already shown that it's going to be – that's made quite a bit of money for Denver. It's already shown quite a bit of tax revenue in Los Angeles. And now the whole country is going to be looking to see what it does for Oakland.
And possibly new members for unionized labor?
Yeah. Well, the union already – one of the major California unions already said that they're backing Proposition 19. And
they're ready to move in.
There's a lot of support. And now, who knows, big business is ready to move in.
Okay. Ryan Nurz is the author – currently working on a book about marijuana culture in the U.S. called Marijuana America. It's expected to be published next year. Thanks so much.
Thank you.